Everyone, and welcome to minute 124 of season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today from Minute of Thieves is Travis Bow. Welcome back to the show, Travis.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Always fun having you on. You always bring a lot of fun trivia and stuff, and sometimes things that I didn't even notice. So that's even more fun. You know, someone on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. You know, I love doing the research into this kind of stuff. Like, you know, I talked about last minute that poster for the peppermint liqueur. Like, does that enhance anyone's viewing of this movie? Probably not, but maybe next time someone's watching it, it's like, oh, they, you know, when they're thinking about this movie, and if they notice it, it's like that hopefully will enhance like the effort that the people who made this movie, you know, they put in the work to do, you know, to include real things like that. So,
correct. And I completely agree with you on that. I mean, that's one of the things I love about this movie. And we've talked about this many times over the last 123 episodes and now 124th. Where, you know, the production, that the way they set up this production and the art direction and it just is done in such a way that they wanted to make it as realistic as possible with everything that's going on. And it's just, you know, it's just amazing the way that they do it. And these are perfect examples of it. You know, the fact that you will have posters on the wall that are from that time.
Yeah.
You know, it goes to show that the people, you know, that were dealing with this type of stuff made sure that everything they did was, you know, was up to par. You know, so you can look at it and say, I'm familiar with that. You know, I've seen that poster before in France, or that you would have seen that type of thing here.
Right,
you know, in a town like this, you know, it makes you wonder where they come up with those ideas. Did you think that they would talk to different veterans and say, "Oh, do you remember what type of poster you saw?" No, like, oh, I saw peppermint liqueur.
I bet it comes from a lot of like photographic evidence. Like, I bet they poured through, you know, photos of these wrecked French towns, you know, in order to build this location. They probably looked at old historical photos of, you know, similar places and saw, you know, oh, this one has, you know, I mean, just in this scene, there's a, you know, one of the walls of the building that the other guys are sitting on the stoop in front of. It says something on the side. I know there's other looks at it in various minutes of this movie. So it's like, yeah, that's just another thing that would have existed in a similar place or in a similar time, but they chose to make that wall is going to have a big, you know, advertisement painted on the side, you know? Yeah, it's just, I love that kind of detail.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's just great. It's great the way they do that here. So minute 124 begins with Miller trying to find a way to relax and ends with Ryan starting to tell his story. So yesterday we ended things with Ryan being a little shocked that Miller was a school teacher, you know, and that he himself, oh, I would never want to be a school teacher. You know, we were too mean to our teachers. I couldn't do that. And the way that yesterday's minute ended as this minute starts, it's like, you know, continues with both. It's Miller basically saying, well, I had 1,000 kids like you. Which you'd think that he would expand on that, but he doesn't. He just says, I had 1,000. Like, what does that mean? 1,000 kids like you who didn't believe that they could ever be a teacher? Or is it 1,000 kids, you know, who, you know, didn't know how to appreciate.
Like to mess with teachers, I think is what he's.
Right. Who didn't know how to appreciate teachers. That type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So. Now, the two of them are just sitting in the middle of all this rubble, and you see all around them, you see broken chairs, and there's even, I think, what looks like a toilet seat that's broken in the background there, and you see some of the other you know, men from the airborne in the background. You see wheels from some sort of truck or something like that. I mean, you even see like a there's a table behind Miller or the legs of a table that are standing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something there, but
more little fires, you know, yeah. Like you mentioned earlier, like just
yep. And smoke. And what's great is yeah. You can see the guys from, you know, the, you know, that we talked about yesterday and the day before, mm-hmm. You see them in the background.
Yeah.
You know, sitting on the stoop with the phonograph.
Right. Like, what are they talking about now? That's you right. know,
It could be that there's the same conversation that they're having, you know, that they're right now talking about, you know, Mrs. Could be. Rachel, yeah.
Trubowitz, yeah.
Right. Exactly. It's very possible that this is something that takes place at a very, you know, at the exact same time.
Yeah, I thought about that. Yeah, I definitely noticed like Upham is seated in this minute, so you know he's at least not translating the song.
Right.
You know, if they could be doing the talking about Miss Trubowitz and all that stuff,
right.
If there's like a you know if they're playing with time here, right. You know.
No, but I also love the fact that they show us the spatial relationship between where Miller and Ryan are sitting and waiting, and the mm-hmm. other guys are all. You know, you see,
yeah.
You can see that they're basically one building over.
Yeah, and then when you're looking at Miller, there's a group of guys huddled up around, you know, some rubble, not too far away from him, kind of on his. On his right, but then I think
those are the airborne guys, right.
You know, and then even further than that, that's a quick little shot. Like if you looked right next to his head, way off in the distance, there's another little group of guys, you know. So
right, and
it's like
there's tons of
pockets of a bunch of
there's a lot of smoke in the background where every so often there's a place behind Miller when he's talking that you see smoke and then you see a flame come up and then smoke and then a flame come up. You know, again, showing that this is all an active war zone, battlefield.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of where you're talking about where you see guys further in the... Oh, now I see who you're talking about. You see a bunch of guys that are standing...
Sitting yeah, it's like right back. Next to his head.
Right. It's hard to see them because they're the exact same color as the sandbags that they're saying. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I never noticed that. That's really interesting.
And that could be, I don't know, spatially where everything is happening. That they could be near the bridge, maybe. So I remember seeing sandbags around the bridge.
Right. I'm assuming they have numerous places with sandbags here.
And that's that's very, very possible.
Right. And then you know, while Miller and Ryan are just sitting there, they start talking up a storm. And Ryan mm-hmm. just says to Miller, I can't see my brother's faces. I've been trying. I can't see their faces at all. Has this ever happened to you? Well, you got to think of context. What does that mean? Well, you don't just think about their faces. You think about something specific, something you've done together. Well, when I think of home, I think of something specific. Think of my hammock in the backyard and my wife pruning the rose bushes in a pair of my old work gloves. And then he just trails off as he says that.
Yeah.
And then Ryan, this is a great example as to, you know, how great of an actor Matt Damon was even at this stage in his career. Because you see the character just... You see the thoughts going through his mind, trying to wreck his brain, and it's very believable with the way that he does it. And then,
because I like that this is a kid who. Where are they from? Iowa.
Yes, Peyton, Iowa.
Okay, like he's probably heard the word context, but he's probably never really, you know.
Because he didn't have a teacher like Miller.
He's probably never had someone say, well, you got to think of the context, you know. And so he does have to ask, like, what does that mean? You know, I like that. That's, you know, he has to explain, like, well, you got to, you know. think of a specific, you know, time, not just thinking of their face, you know, but think of something you were doing. You know, I love that. Do you think Ryan has aphantasia?
I don't know what aphantasia is, which I'm assuming you're about to explain to me.
Yeah, well, according to clevelandclinic.org, aphantasia is a characteristic some people have related to how their mind and imagination work. Having it means you don't have visual imagination. And this is not the same thing as face blindness. Face blindness is like you can't retain people's faces. But this is it keeps you from picturing things in your mind. People often don't realize they have it, and it's not a disability or medical condition. Aphantasia is when your brain doesn't form or use mental images as part of your thinking or imagination. Experts don't define aphantasia as a medical condition, disorder, or disability. Instead, it's a characteristic, much like when which hand you naturally use to write. There are two forms of aphantasia, congenital, which is you have your entire life, or acquired, which is you develop it later on in life. Experts estimate between 2% and 4% of people have it. However, research on this condition, including how many people have it, is limited. It's difficult to determine who has it because many people with aphantasia don't realize they think in a way that's different from most people. People with aphantasia may not realize that most people can see images they generate in their minds. Some people with aphantasia say they thought using the word see in that context was a metaphor. Wow. So because of this, aphantasia may be more common than research currently shows. And then lastly, people with aphantasia don't experience issues from it. Like I said, many don't even realize their minds work differently. So many people with it find success in science and math-related fields, but there's no shortage of artists and other creative professionals with it too, meaning that you know, you don't have, it's not going to hold you back from pursuing things you want in life.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So do you think that's what he has or not?
It's possible if he can't think of his brother's faces, who it's not like they haven't been gone for years. You know what I mean?
They could be, you don't know when they, when they signed up. This is already June 1944. So, let's assume that it's at least 6 months.
That's true.
At least, if not more.
I think when people start to lose, you know, the image that they can recall of their loved ones after passing, I think it's, you know, usually like a couple of years before, you know, when it's like I can't quite remember what so and so looked like, or you know, that image in your brain. Like I don't know. I feel like it hasn't been that long that he wouldn't be able to recall his brother's faces. Right. So now I'm thinking maybe he kind of does have this where his mind doesn't work that same way of being able to just remember what someone looks like.
Maybe it's just a form of shell shock, you know, that he's right now.
Could be.
You know, his brain is an overload from everything that's been going on and stuff like that. That you know, sometimes, you know, it's the idea that if you try really hard to think of something, you generally will not be able to figure it out. Like my tongue, and then, you know, 5 minutes later when your mind is completely blank and you're doing something else, it just pops into your head and you're like, oh, I wanted to say that before. That's what I think. But I love the example that Miller gives him. You know, just you know, the idea of him relaxing and letting his wife do the garden and that's it. You know. But what's funny is that he basically says that she's using his old work gloves, which means that at some point he liked to tend to the garden, but now he lets her, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Or maybe she just liked the way his felt when, you know, after he was done using them for a while, maybe, you know, she took him over and. That is a nice little detail.
New work gloves and she's still using the old ones. Right. Okay. Interesting. And he mentions sitting in a hammock. So where do you think the word hammock comes from?
Hammock. I don't know, it's an odd word. It doesn't have like an instant, like, I don't get an instant like Latin vibe, you know, from it, or I don't know. Hammock. No, I'm still, I have no idea.
It comes from the Spanish word hamaca.
Okay.
Which is basically a sling made of fabric, rope, or netting suspended between two or more points, used for swinging, sleeping, or resting. It was something that was developed at the same time in various places around the world. Even like Native Americans in America were creating hammocks at the same time that people in Britain were doing it. And I mean, it goes back really far. The idea of
makes sense. Yeah, yeah. You know,
it goes all the way back to the to like 400 BC.
Right.
You know, the idea of the whole, you know, taking, just finding a way to sleep, you know, between trees, or they use it on ships, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the idea that it's lightweight and it's something that can relatively be, you know, rolled up very easily.
Great for traveling.
Good for traveling. Good for going on, you know, like hiking trips and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just have to make sure you're going to be in a place which will have two trees for you to
hook
it up with. I mean, I remember we had a hammock when I was a kid, and it wasn't connected to trees. It had like a metal pole underneath it.
Okay. We've got one of those in our backyard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably a little sturdier.
Yeah. I like that when he's talking about, like, he didn't know he was going to bring up the subject of a hammock, but when he's sitting here, he's got his feet propped up on the chair. He kind of looks like he's sitting in a hammock. Right. So it's like part of his brain, like, chooses to relax in a hammock-like, you know, position. Yes. Like, he purposefully grabbed that second chair and, like, you know, made it so that he could put his feet up. So I think, part of his like drive to find comfort is like, I want to put my feet up. I want to sit, you know, kind of like I'm in a hammock, but I don't think it was something he thought like, I think it was completely, like
subconscious.
Yeah. Yeah. Just that's, he knows he wanted to sit down. So he needs two chairs for that, you know?
Right. It's true. So, one of the things I found really interesting about hammocks is that the Apollo 12 mission was the first mission which actually used hammocks. So Apollo 11, during the rest period, so Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin had to sleep on the floor, and they complained that it was very difficult to sleep because the floor was very cold. You know, from sleep. So from Apollo 12 until Apollo 17, they designed hammocks that you could attach into the interior of the lunar module.
Okay.
And this, you know, helped them to, you know, to spend complete nights on the moon. You know, they were able to sleep without having to be on the floor. I'll have to ask Jim if he knows that little bit of trivia.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does. Jim knows everything.
Yeah.
Jim will be like, oh, well, of course I know about that. Neil Armstrong told me how cold it was when we were sitting on the floor. Yeah. You know.
He'll give you the manufacturer, you know, the detail.
Wait, are you referring to the version XYZ or the
JB27 or the
exactly
the JB29?
Exactly. And then at this point, Ryan starts telling his story, and he goes, well, this one night, two of my brothers came in and woke me up in the middle of the night, and they said they had a surprise for me, so they took me to the barn. And then he gets cut off.
The way he starts telling that story, it starts very somber. Well, it sounds not like a
horror story. They took me to the barn.
Exactly. Yeah. It just sounds very like, my brothers, they came and they took me, you know,
they took me to the bar in
the middle of the night.
Out of me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you don't know what exactly where he's going with that story at that point.
Right.
And did you notice that he's like playing with his fingernails at the time he's telling the story? He's like looking. It shows that he's like somewhat either embarrassed or self conscious about telling this story the way that he's doing it. He's like,
I pick at my fingers a lot, like my thumbs, like the sides of my thumbs are just usually are worse shape than they are right now. But they're usually just, it's a stress thing. You know, I pick at the sides of my thumbs, to varying degrees. Sometimes they're like, this one's mostly fine. This one's a little redder. You can see where I've, you know, picked it till it's irritated. So that seems totally, you know, something, or like I'll, you know, get a little, you know, to kind of scrape out the whatever little bit of accumulated, you know, grime underneath your fingernails occasionally. I think that's part of what he's doing. Like, I do that kind of stuff all the time. So, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention about this minute?
I don't. I didn't have a ton on this one.
We still have some nice stuff about, you know.
Oh, yeah.
About memory issues and hammocks. You know, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, so every Thursday we have a game that's called Say What Thursday. Say what again. And the idea behind this game is that there are a lot of actors in this movie who are well-known and famous and have been in many other movies. And so what I decided to do is I test my guests' knowledge of movie quotes. Okay, now obviously I can't keep the field completely open and say it's going to be one of the 27 actors in this movie. So right. I've limited to three, and each week I choose three different actors that it could be. So the five quotes that I'm going to give you will be either from a movie that Tom Hanks is in, Tom Sizemore, or Matt Damon. Okay. It's one of the three of them. I will give you the quote and I'll tell you the year that it came out. And you have to try and guess what the movie is. And if you want, I can give you lifelines. All right. And again, I don't have to use all three of these.
Gotcha.
And it could be that they're all the same one also. But I have not used Saving Private Ryan. That is not I've taken that off. I've used it a few times in the past, but I've decided to take it off the board because that's just
That makes sense.
It's not something that everyone would normally think to, you know, that it could be on their on the list. Okay, so the first movie to choose from, remember, it could be Tom Hanks, Tom Sizemore, or Matt Damon from 1994. All right, the quote is, "I never wounded anything in my life. I got you locked right between the eyes. I've had you locked from the jump, you phony."
Hmm.
No, I left out a character's name that's in the middle of that.
Okay.
If you want, I can say it again with the character's name if you think that might help you a little bit.
I'm going to take a guess. I don't think it doesn't sound like a Tom Hanks quote from anything that I can recall. I'm going to say Tom Sizemore in... wait a minute. Is it Passenger 57?
He's in Passenger 57, but that was in 1992, and it's not this quote. It is Tom Sizemore, though. Okay. I will give you that so far.
Yeah. In 94, that's not when Heat came out, right?
No, Heat was 95.
Okay. That's what I thought, so.
So, okay, where, so what movie do you think it is?
I don't know his filmography enough to guess any other movies. Of his.
Well, I hope for your sake, I didn't do five Tom Sizemore. So I will give you now the full quote again. I never wounded anything in my life. I got you locked right between the eyes, Mickey. I've had you locked from the jump, you phony.
No, that doesn't help. I can't think of any characters named Mickey.
Okay, I will give you.
I always do terribly at your games.
Did that say something about my games or say something about you?
I think me, because I've listened to your show and other people they do great, you know. What are the other lifeline options?
The movie also features Woody Harrelson.
Okay. 94, Woody Harrelson. 94, so this is... Natural Born
exactly.
Killers?
Excellent.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the next one. The next one is from 2001.
Okay.
No Spectre gunships. Daylight instead of night. Late afternoon when they're all f***ed up on cat. Only part of the city, Adid, can mount a serious counterattack on short notice. What's not to like? What's not to like?
Okay. Can I hear it again?
Sure. No Spectre gunships.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit. So.
No Spectre gunships. Daylight instead of night. Late afternoon when they're all f***ed up on cat. Only part of the city, Adid, can mount a serious counterattack on short notice. What's not to like?
I'm going to go with, which one was he in? Was he in Red Planet or Mission to Mars? I'm going to say Red Planet. Oh, Tom Sizemore.
Okay. First of all, it is Tom Sizemore, but it is not Red Planet.
Is it Mission to Mars?
No.
Is that what the other one was called? Is it?
The other one is called Mission to Mars. He was in Red Planet, okay. I believe, yes. But that's not the
book. Okay.
And that was not 2001. I think that was 2000.
No. Okay. Okay. Then I'm gonna need a lifeline, I guess.
Okay.
Or I don't know. How many chances do I get?
As many as you want.
Okay. Okay. Then throw me a lifeline.
You can have as many as you want. Here, I'll even tell you the name of the director. It's directed by Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott. Okay. Tom Sizemore, Ridley Scott, 2001. See, again, I don't know his filmography enough to know what else he was working on.
Josh Hartnett is in this movie.
Ridley Scott?
Yes.
Josh Hartnett, Ridley Scott. Oh, is it, no, I want to say... like Gangs of L.A. or something like that.
Nope.
I don't know.
Ian McGregor's in this.
Who?
Ian McGregor.
Oh. Now I'm getting way... now I'm all jumbled up. I'm not getting anywhere close to
Eric Bana is in this movie.
Who was
Eric Bana.
Eric Bana, 2001. Ewan McGregor.
Josh Hartnett, Ian McGregor.
Josh Hartnett?
Yeah.
I don't know. I do not know this one.
Okay, it's Black Hawk Down.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen it, but that's not even a confident guess.
Okay.
So, no, I would never have gotten that one.
Okay. All right, the next one from 2004. Okay, just stop. Last week I was 4,000 miles away in India watching Marie die. They came for me. And they killed her instead. This ends now.
You picked five Tom Sizemores, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Is it Damon in Born? The Born.
Yes. Born Supremacy. Very good.
Okay.
All right. Nice. You got that one. All right, the next one is from 1999. I always thought it would be better to be a fake somebody than a real nobody.
That sounds so familiar. 1999. I need a lifeline.
Okay.
Is it Matt Damon in A Talented Mr. Ripley?
Yes, it is. Very good.
Okay.
I was just about to tell you that Gwyneth Paltrow's in it. That was gonna be my lifeline. All right, great. And the final one for you is from 2007. We've shaken all the trees, we've looked under every rock, we've talked to everybody we can trust. I know it's not a great idea, but it's an idea. And as long as we have one idea, we shouldn't give up.
Is it Tom Hanks and Lady Killers?
No.
Oh, dang. Okay. Throw me a lifeline.
Throw you a lifeline. I'm trying to think of how to give you a lifeline without making it too easy, and but also not making it too hard. It's one of those. This movie also features Elliot Gould.
Oh, okay. So it's Ocean's.
Exactly. Ocean's 13.
What was it? Which one was it? 13. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. See, you did fairly well there. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, considering you're.
It's a fun game.
Considering you're not a time size more fan, you know, so.
Yeah, I just, you know, he's, you know, I feel like he's. Kind of like lump him in with Michael Madsen. I know they've, yeah. I don't know, they just, you know, I like him in some things, but.
Right. Okay. That's fair. I was trying to find something that had like some superhero in it, but I couldn't find any of these actors who play superheroes, yeah. You know, so figured I'd give you those.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. So, Travis, would you like to tell people, once again, where they can find you?
Sure. You can find me over on Real Comic Heroes talking about comic book movies. I mentioned it, I don't know, earlier or yesterday. I also did Watchmen, which is completely finished and, you know, sitting there waiting for you to binge listen. So go check that out.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Fear this.